Let these words be your words and not mine. Strengthen my trembling legs, Lord God. Strengthen my knees as I bring forth your word. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As you have heard, I played a song from the 70s by the Temptations called Ball of Confusion. This is where I believe we still are. It was a song that you danced to at a party, you know, and boogie down and all that kind of stuff. But now that I'm older, it's reality. And no matter where you go or who you talk to or what your subject may be, people are confused. And they are on high anxiety. That is the title of my word today, is anxiety. And it really became real to me on June 11th of 2023. This was after the transition of the pastor and Megan leaving the church. And we were coming down the aisle toward the sanctuary. Well, I'm a pretty happy person. I'm always talking and laughing as it is. But there was something different about this day. And as I was coming down the hall, there was like darkness coming from the sanctuary into the hallway. I'm still talking and laughing, but I'm still sensing and feeling this darkness. So, you know, I'm becoming agitated, and my anxiety is getting ready to rise up. I'm thinking, is this my last time coming here, or is it someone else's last time? It was like a funeral was going on or getting ready to happen. And I really didn't know what that feeling was, because when you come to God's house, you're coming for joy, you're coming for healing, you're coming for a sense of relationship with the people that you serve with. You're coming to hear the word of God, you know, to meet you at the point of your needs. And it just didn't seem like I was on my way to church. And I'm one of those people that would step back and say, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, so during this experience, it's so heartfelt and overwhelming. I just said in a low voice, let God be glorified. You know, what is this going on? You know, and I was feeling what other people were feeling in the church because of the transition. I can be sensitive to other people and what they feel when they're hurt, crying, and anxiety. I have a lot of empathy for other people. But as I proceeded to my seat and praise and worship is going on, and I feel this sense of burning in my spirit, burning in my bosom and burning in my stomach. And I'm thinking, wow, this is the Holy Spirit. And it really is tugging at me today. So I proceeded to look for my Bible, my little Bible, the one no one thinks I can read, and especially my daughter, right? She's always Mom, you got that little Bible. You can't read that, but I can read that Bible, especially with my readers on, okay? So, and then I couldn't write down fast enough because God wanted me to write down what was going on, like, right now. So I had to write it down. You know, I didn't. You want to be attentive when church is going on, but I had to write it down because the burning was so intense, and I just couldn't get up. Well, I didn't feel like getting up, shouting it out, whatever was going on. I had to first see what he had to say. And he led me to Isaiah 40 and 28. He led me to that scripture, Isaiah 40 and 28. Or did I give you the wrong one? Isaiah 40, verse. Oh, I see it up there. I'm looking at the time. Forgive me. 11:20, right? Forgive me. Sorry. Sorry. Okay, and it says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. But did you not know that? Some of us don't know that. We can say we know that. We can act like we know that. But some of us do not know that. Have you heard? Well, you may have heard, but did you believe it when you heard it? That this is who God is? He is the everlasting God. There is no end to God. There is no beginning, no ending. No mother, no father. This is the everlasting God. The Lord. Well, who is the Lord? The Lord is your not only Savior, he's your master. He's your owner. He owns you. He owns each and every one of you. He owns his entire creation. And he is ruler. Amen. He rules over everything. Now, Satan has a little bit of power that God's allowed him to have, but God is not going to give him free reign over his creation, over the works of his hands. Okay? And he does not grow faint. And he's not weary. If he can take the burdens of all of us upon himself, how can he be weary? He cannot be weary. He also gave me Isaiah 44 and 24. He just gave me that. Don't you love God when you got to speak and he'll just, okay, I want this one too. At the last minute, Isaiah 44 and 24. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord. So here again, he is saying, I am the Lord. I am ruler. I am your master, and I am your owner, who made all things, not some things, but all things. And if he didn't actually make it with his own hands or with the words that he spoke, the things that were on this earth were left for man to be able to use to create other things like houses and you know, structures and things like that. They would not have been able to do that if God had not supplied the material for it. Then he says this, who alone stretched out heavens? Who spread out the earth? By myself. And then he says, who was with me? Wow. Were you with God when he did all these things? You know, sometimes we think that creation was because of what we told God we wanted it to be. Well, God, we want this. We want fireworks in the sky. We want, you know, we want palm trees in Ohio. We think that it's because of what we want. But God did this for his glory and for his pleasure. Now, he may have had us in mind when he created the world, but he didn't do it just because it's what we wanted. But get back to that day of doom and gloom. Pastor Betty had called up Rick, who had been recently attacked by Satan, like 2 days before he spoke. He was in the hospital. And I remember that we prayed for him. Because the enemy did not want him to bring forth the word that he had to share with the congregation. This also had to do with the doom and the gloom and the darkness, amen, that feeling in the sanctuary that I felt. God does, you know, the devil doesn't want us to be free. Amen. He wants us to stay burdened. He wants us to stay in darkness where he is. Okay? Now, usually when you do have to bring a word, the devil does attack you. Amen. I kind of felt like he let me slide this time. But, you know, I had an in-home visit. You know, they do the in-home visits now with nurses and stuff. And she came to see me and she thought, she said, oh, you have a blockage in your right leg. And I'm thinking, a blockage? Well, my leg never bothered me till she mentioned it, right? Then I got this tingling going on, and I'm rubbing my leg like, what is going on? You know, so I tell my husband eventually, she said, I had a blockage in my leg. He said, well, don't worry about it. Everything's okay. You're going to be fine. I said, okay. I'm going to take your word for it. But isn't that just like the devil? Anxiety, just all of a sudden, here goes my anxiety. Now my anxiety has created something. It may not be there, it may be there, but here I am feeling it that I didn't even feel before. Amen. So that's what anxiety does. It enlightens things. It brings things to be more intense to where you are and what you're feeling, okay? So I'm still feeling this fire in my bosom. I'm trying to speak, but I know I can't speak at this time because I don't have the full message. And then Pastor Teresa had come up, and she had returned from a two-week sabbatical. She had went to visit Pastors Rowan and Megan. And I know that she had a sense of peace after her visit there. And because we all were struggling with something about the transition of our pastors. And then I understood the feeling. I understood where it was coming from and why. Anxiety. But don't forget, God has told you who he is, right? And when Pastor Rick came up, he led the congregation in this powerful, powerful message from Joshua 1, 8 and 9. Where God encourages Joshua to be strong and courageous. He says, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And that was the word that God wanted us to know, that even though the pastor has been removed from this place, he had not been removed from this place. And he is still here. And he's not going anywhere. And then he did the foot washing service, which helped to bind us closest together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. What a powerful word God gave that day. And you know, that darkness and that feeling of doom and gloom just dissipated. Amen. From this place. You know, from this place. And then Pastor Vicky and her husband took on prayer. And you can feel peace in this place. You know, maybe some of y'all had felt it before, but I was sensitive to the other thing that was going on here. Such anxiety, and where did it come from? Now, we know that anxiety is associated with fear. And that is in 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Okay, now when we have this anxiety going on and we really don't know what to do with it. And I was thinking about an experience I had some years ago. And I always have to use my daughter because I'm either with one or the other because I have four daughters, right? I was going through a bad time with anxiety. I didn't really know what it was at that time, but it seemed like someone would just grab me by my throat and throw me down on my bed or whatever, and I couldn't breathe and all that kind of stuff. So I had told my doctor about it. It had got so bad that it had created this big knot right here on my throat, right there by your esophagus. And they told me that they wanted to do a biopsy. So my daughter, the nurse, was going with me to get this biopsy done. And I'm just feeling good, getting ready to find out what this thing is, and they can leave me, that whatever that force was, could just leave me alone, right? And Peachy says, well, I'm going to go with you, Mom. I said, okay, come with me then. All they're going to do is get a biopsy, right? She said, Mom, I don't think you realize that they're getting ready to go down in your throat and cut you and get a piece of what's down there and bring it out. And I'm thinking, we're at the Harding Memorial. We're almost there at the clinic, right? And I'm thinking, really? That's what they're going to do? I'm like, oh, no. So I get to praying immediately. I'm like, Lord, no. I don't want them cutting on my throat, God. Don't let them cut me on my throat. I'm tripping, right? Totally. Because I kept telling them, oh, they're not going to do anything. They're just going to go down there and get a little piece, you know, and for the microfine glass or whatever. And she said, Mom, they're going to cut you. I'm thinking, no, they can't cut me. They can't cut me. So I have prayed all the way to the machine. What they call that machine, like they use for babies and stuff. What is that? Ultrasound. Okay. I got tears in my eyes. I have prayed from the Harding Memorial to the clinic. I get down there. They said that thing had gotten so small, it wasn't even worth cutting on. I'm like, Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, because some things just seem like, you know, all right, I'll go ahead and do it, but oh no, they weren't going to cut me. So they told me, go home, we don't have to cut you, yay, yay. But that anxiety also was good for me. And it can be bad for us. It's how we internalize it. We don't want the kind of anxiety where it paralyzes us, where we can't function. We don't know how to respond to other people. You know, we don't know how to go about our day. We don't want that type of anxiety. And that's the kind of anxiety that the enemy loves to put on us, right? Amen. Because he does not want us to be who God has called us to be. Okay, so anxiety also comes from uncertainty, distrust with the plan of God. Amen. That is the root of anxiety, the lack of faith. Why? Sometimes we may not have gotten the job that we wanted to get. Maybe relationships are not what we expected them to be, and maybe we don't even have one. Maybe we think we missed that boat, and we're upset about this, okay? It could be medical conditions. It could be, even your normal could become abnormal, and you can have anxiety because of that. You know, because when things don't run like they used to do, then you're like, now what's next? What can I do now? What should I do? I don't know what I should do. Somebody tell me. And you may call other people and trying to get, you know, advice from other people. What should I do? What do you think I should do? You know? But God wants us to depend upon him. And I found out that a lot of people say, who is God to you? Well, he's a lot of things to me. But God's not concerned about your opinion or who you think he is. Amen. God is not confused about who he is. Right. He knows who he is. Amen. You know, and I don't know if God did, you know, flooded the earth, the entire earth, maybe that little part where those people were. He didn't do the whole earth. We have questions about God and who he says he is. He said he flooded the world. He flooded the world. Do you believe him or do you not believe him? And that's where this distrust comes from, that we have where God is concerned. His plan. His plan is not your plan. Amen. So things are not going to work out like you want them to work out. And if they did, you still wouldn't be happy. There would still be something that you would be uncertain about. Uncertain about what you should eat today. Uncertain about what you should wear. Well, that might interfere with me, but anyway, some people have that problem. Some people do not. They always know what they're going to do. Sometimes I don't like those people. You know, they're always on top of the world. Nothing ever bothers them. You know, like, where did they come from? You know, where did God drop them on the earth from, you know? Because I'm always thinking about some, unsure about this, unsure about that, trying to make decisions. It can be a turmoil, and we all know that. At least I do. I can speak about Linda. I can't speak about anybody else. So this is how I deal with a lot of things. Now, do I believe God? Yes. I hear people say, well, I trust him. I told my grandson this. I said, trust God. Oh, I believe I trust him more than anybody else. I'm thinking, how do you know that? You don't know the depth of anyone else's faith or how much they trust God. But he let me know I trust him the most. Okay. All right. Then God put you to a test. Do you really? See, people don't understand when they say things out of their mouth what they're going to reap from what they've put out there, you know. And right now, I think he's thinking about that. Do I trust God? Because he's in a place where he's got to trust him. Because he trusts him more than anybody else. You know, sometimes I look at my grandkids and my kids, and I just lay in my bed and laugh, you know, because I thank God that they are who they are. I thank God that I raised them all in the church is the best that I could. And just to think that you're at the top of the list. And you know what else it made me think of? It made me think of the children of Israel. And when Joshua says, told them what the Lord said to do, and they said, oh, we can do everything the Lord tell us to do, Joshua. But could they? No. Before anything happened that they said they could do, they had already reneged, already sinned. And we are the same way. We're the same people. Never satisfied. Can never have enough. Always looking for something else. Now, how do we fight against anxiety? I have 1 Peter 5 and 7. If I can find it. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. So God is watching. And he wants us to cast all of our cares on him. And when I thought of the word cast, I thought about people sitting on the riverbank getting ready to fish, right? They got their pole and they're going to put the worm on it, of course, plastic or real, and they're going to cast their string, reel, and worm out in the water, right? But you can't see it. And they have sinkers on it, and it goes way down in the water. Well, people sit there patiently, and they wait for that. Either a fish will bump it or take half the worm and take off running, or they'll catch it where they can be hooked and reel them in, right? So God wants us to cast our cares on him and don't worry about bringing them back up. You know, sometimes we thought, well, wow, I had that care so long. Let me pull it back up. I need that care. You know, well, I need that burden. I don't even feel right anymore, because sometimes people put anxiety on like they do their clothes in the morning, you know, and then they're anxious all day. And it's like, that's not a way to live. Amen. That is a way of bondage. And also think about roll your cares over onto the Lord. Like, I remember there was a commercial about a dog food. I don't even remember what that dog food was called, but that little boy used to say, "Roll over, Rover." And Rover, the dog would be rolling over, rolling over. Well, God wants us to roll over our anxieties and burdens that are on our shoulders onto His shoulders. Amen. He said His burden is light. Amen. And He takes on all the burdens of the whole entire world. There are billions of people on this earth today. And God can take care of each and every one of us. Amen. Who else could do that? God is amazing. Amen. He is amazing. Like you said, I spread abroad this earth, and who is with me? Huh. Okay? That is an awe moment, because we serve an awesome God. An awesome God. Now, my next verse is James 4, 7, and 8. So be subject to God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Now, not only this Amplified Version uses the word subject, King James Version uses the word submit in that first little sentence. So what's the difference? Submission describes action taken by one under authority. Okay? And when you submit, there is freedom in submission. Now, subject describes actions taken by one with authority. But both of these words apply to this same scripture, because God has given us the authority when He gave us the gift of the Spirit. Self-control. So we have authority over anxiety.
Amen.
We have authority over that. God has given us permission. So with His permission, we can put authority to rest. He's not only given us permission, but He's given us the equipment that we can deal with certain things. Just like, you know, I was saying people get up in the morning and put on their anxiety like they put on their clothes. Well, God doesn't want us to be always on pins and needles. What kind of God would He be if He did not give us authority over things that pertain to us personally? You know, how can we serve Him in freedom and do the things that He has access to do when we're afraid to speak? We're afraid to confront certain people, you know. And, you know, I was sick at one time also, and I was dealing with anxiety. My husband was dying. I was sick. I had two collapsed lungs. He claimed he was on his way out. I didn't believe it at the time, but because it took him so long to die after he told me he was going to die. So I thought I was losing my mind, right? I thought, oh my God, what is wrong? He's sick, I'm sick, we both in the hospital at the same time. I mean, you're talking about anxiety. Still had two children at home to raise and couldn't work, was sick all the time. But I tell you, but God, but that was just one of those times. I've dealt with a lot of anxiety in my life. I really have. And they're all great stories, I think. All great stories. But it was just, during that time, it was very bad. And I really suffered a lot of anxiety during that time. But I learned that God had given me authority over that, you know. That was even after the knot in my throat, right? So what was I going to do about that? I had to submit to God. I had to remember Him, and not only that, focus on Him and read His word and believe His promises that He was there for me and that He was not going to leave me nor forsake me no matter what I would encounter, no matter what I went through, you know. And after He died, I still had two children to raise. Even though I had two grown children, I had two kids like 12 and 9 years old. So I still had to carry on. I still had to be a mother with this high anxiety. And with one, I had to contend with all the time. Like that daughter Pastor Betty talks about. I had one of those too. And either she was going to kill me or I was going to kill her. It was one of those. And you mean anxiety? Oh my God. Oh my God. She got me this weekend. I think, oh my God. How do I allow that to happen all the time? For her to get me. I was, oh gosh. But it happened. Okay. But just remember that you do have authority over anxiety, okay? Now, also, now, after we're fighting for our, fighting through anxiety and submitting our lives to God, because He has given us the authority to do that, okay? We are gaining our freedom from being bound. Now, all this has to do with our bodies, and I need 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. I got to move on, about out of time. I am? Okay. What scripture did I give? I forgot. Okay. Also with the fighting against anxiety, as I said, gives us freedom. It also sets our everyday lives in order and gives us direction, along with an unimaginable blessings to obedient ones. Why? Because I freed myself of unnecessary anxiety, and I am free to serve God however He needs me to. 1 Corinthians 9 and 27 talks about Paul. Where is it at? 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. Must be missing it. Paul says, "But like a boxer, I buffet my body. I handle it roughly. I discipline it by hardships, and I subdue it for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved and rejected as a counterfeit." So we don't want to wait till the judgment day and we're before the Lord and God says, you're not accepted. After we have came to church, sang our songs, read our Bible, give our testimonies, and you know, we're the greatest Christians on the earth. But our bodies is having full reign over our actions, over our thoughts, and over our movements. Paul says, like a boxer, I buffet my body. You have to command your body. You can do that. Amen. God's given us authority of self-control, and this is a part of it. Command your body. Command your mind what to think. Command your heart what to feel. Because they say that, I think it's jealousy and self-pity are an abundant emotions in our culture, which is nothing new to humanity. But our goal is not to let these emotions linger in our hearts and minds. Take to God. Maybe everything did not work out the way you wanted them to. Your job position, your relationships, your health. God has greater plans for you than you ever dreamed, and His blessings has your name on it. It will not be wasted or go to the wrong person. It's really just for you. And it will be where you need, when you're at the place that God feels that you are ready to receive that blessing, it will come to you. Without delay, it will come to you. So, we want to learn to, just like Paul, buffet our bodies, make it submit, because we do not want our bodies mastering over us and leading us away from God's best. Now, we are instructed by the scriptures to submit to marriage, submit to church, and the shared lives we have with other believers in Christ Jesus. And I thought, wow, we share a life? We do. We actually share our lives with the people of God. Some of you know some of our deepest secrets. And keep them to yourself or take them to the Lord. Not to be spread abroad and talked about like soap operas. But to admonish one another and lift one another up in our times of need and pray for one another. Because it doesn't benefit us to be jealous of one another. God has given me 3 scriptures to leave with you. I know I've probably been through enough. God has given us a legacy of peace. He wants us to use it. John 14:27. St. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. God is saying, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. We cannot lead other people, younger people, to God and expect them to want to come to the church if we are dealing with these issues. Being cowardly, don't know how to talk, don't know how to walk, don't know how to greet people or make people feel comfortable, don't know how to pray for one another, always hiding. How can we lead the world to Christ? We cannot. God does not want us to be unsettled in our heart, in our mind, or in our spirit. That's why anxiety must be conquered. And only you can conquer your anxiety. God says, come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast that fear onto the Lord, or roll it over off your back. So Lord, you take it. If you have to actually get on the floor like Rover, get on the floor and roll it. So Lord, you just have it. I can't take it anymore. It's yours. And I have 2 Corinthians 4:17. Paul says, what we go through on this earth, what is taking our life away, taking our breath away, taking our children away, taking the things of the world that He has for us away. Paul says, our afflictions are light on this world and momentary. That means life is only a moment. We're only here for a moment. Then we're moving on to some other place. And it says that this light distress of the passing hour is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. Because see, God is preparing us for that great day that is coming, and all of us will be a part of that day. And it's going to depend on where you are in this life, where you will be in the life to come. And my last scripture is 1 Peter 5, verse 10. And God says, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete you and make you what you ought to be. We can't do that, but God can make you what you ought to be by surrendering to him and casting your anxieties and your cares and your worries and your prayers, your children, grandchildren, whatever is bothering you, whatever you need help with, he can help you. And he will establish and ground you securely. Hallelujah. And strengthen and settle you down. Now, doesn't that sound good? That God is going to settle us down. We won't have to worry about anxiety. And don't forget, when it comes, cast it down.